Take your Bibles now and go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. This morning we'll read the first 7 verses responsively. I'll read verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2 all the way through verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." Let's finish on verse number 7 together. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for the privilege and the wonderful opportunity it is to be in your house today. Lord, may it be said, Lord, that we love the habitation of your house. But more importantly, Lord, may your presence be here. As the word of God is preached, may we listen. But Lord, may we listen and apply it to our heart. We'll yield ourselves to you as we listen. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
What a great song. Thank you for the music today. Keep your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to listen to me this morning. I want to help you. Of course, we live in strange days. Our world, especially America, has changed so much. The character level of people is so low and so ungodly and so evil. God told us it would get like this. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. This ought not surprise us. He told us how it was going to be. As we read verses 2 and 3 and 4, didn't it sound like our world today? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's your LGBTQ alphabet soup people. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce protesters. Despisers are those things that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded traitors. Sounds like Congress. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hey, we are living in those last days. Now, America used to have respect for God and godliness, and America used to have respect for America. Now, America hates America, and America hates God. Our world is far more than just confused, though. People are being programmed to not even know if they're male or female. Folks, I hate to tell you, when I was born, it's kind of like a puppy. There's only one way to tell. You know, you look at the plum and then it decides what it is, all right? You can't decide for yourself that, well, I might be plumbed one way, but I feel like I'm a woman today. Now, I have never had that feeling and don't have it. And if so, take me out back, use my own gun, and shoot me, amen? I got no desire to be a woman. Thank God for women. But my 5 favorite words in the English language are, thank God I'm a man. Now, but we have young people being brought up to say they don't know if they're a man or a woman yet. They're being trained, don't decide. You can decide that later. And people are believing it. They don't know what bathroom to use. Everybody doing okay? Soon, they're getting ready to start taking the department signs down in the department stores because it's wrong to have boys department, girls department, men's and ladies. Let's just throw it all in the middle. Let's all be one. Let's all be the same. Brother, I ain't wearing pantyhose or a dress. All right, I don't care. Not happening. Say, preacher, that's gross. Well, then why do women want to dress like a man? It is gross. They've even, they're talking about changing all the toys to where, you know, Mr. Potato Head is just going to be the Potato Head. Well, folks, there's Mrs. Potato Head, too.
Yep.
Dumb stuff. I mean, you know, when Roadrunner has to be taken off and rated R because it's too violent, we got problems. You can have all these people run around in their underwear and call it superheroes, and that's okay, but to have Roadrunners, bad. All right, anyway. And then you got idiots that get up in Congress and they pray in Jesus' name and say amen and a woman. And they're not even smart enough to realize amen has nothing to do with gender. They just want to make a political statement. God tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5, that in the last days as we are in today, look at verse number 5 again, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. One day God arrested my attention to that statement. I begin to see a wonderful truth that I want to give you today. What does it mean to have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof? What does the word form mean? Well, the word form means shell or external shape. When we built this building, I was here on the construction site virtually every day and usually two or three times a day. If you went to the outside walls along this wall and all the way around, when they dug down 34 inches for our, once we finally got everything built up to where it was supposed to be and got everything set, then they went down 34 inches, trenched it out, put rock in down below that, and then they were getting ready to pour concrete, and they put forms along the outside and inside edge by which to pour the concrete. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And when they did the sidewalks, they did the same thing. They put forms out there. There was nothing in there until they poured the concrete. They had to put the rebar down. They had to put the plastic down, then the rebar, and then they were going to pour the concrete over top and everything else. And all those things were put in place prior to it, but those forms are the wooden structures that they built, and they were empty until they filled it with concrete. If you dug out around the edge of this building, you would see a 34-inch wall of concrete underneath. Actually, it's about 42 inches because there's 8 inches poured on top for the actual slab itself. So it's about 42 inches down. And that wall of concrete is actually only about, I'm guessing, about 8 or 10 inches thick. And that's what this whole building rests on. But that form is what they poured the concrete into. The sidewalk that you walked in on today was made with forms. Everything else was here. They trenched out. They put it up to the right level. They backed up the concrete trucks and started dumping concrete, started troweling it out. It was at the right height, and they were able to form it to where it fit exactly the way you see now. Now, it did not, listen to me, the forms were only the shape of what something was to become. God said they have a form that is empty. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. My wife has a pan that she makes angel food cake in. It's called a springform pan. Y'all, have you ever seen one of those? It's got a little doojigger on it, and you pull it real tight, and then you fill it up, and then when the cake is done, you release that spring on there, and it's supposed to come out of there real easy or whatever. It's called a springform pan. There's a lot of Christians that are just like that springform pan. They have the shape, but there's nothing in it. That pan sits in a cabinet until she uses it. It's worthless until she fills it up full of batter and puts it in the oven. Amen? What's the sense in having it if it isn't going to put food in it? But that's called a spring form pan. That's exactly what God says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. People have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They have an empty form. If we would have never poured the footer and just let the forms out there, this building would fall down. If we just put the forms out for the sidewalk, it would have been a rough walk in this morning. Yet many Christians in our society today are an empty form. They have an outside shell, but that's all that they are. The form gives us what the shape is to be, but those shapes are empty. They have to be filled to be useful. God says, the day will come when people will have a form or a shape or a shell of godliness, but they will be an empty shell. They'll deny the power or the filling thereof. Can I tell you something? Christianity today is a mess. You've heard me say this before. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is, thus saith the Lord, and we obey what he said in his word. We have people running around, supposedly Christians. They're just religious. And we've got rock concerts in church. We've got all kinds of nastiness going on. We've got wrong Bibles. We're not even using God's word. We're calling it God's word, but it's not. It's man's words. And we have Burger King Christianity. Have it your way. Choose the choice of to go to the church of your choice. How about we go to the church of God's choice? Man left to himself, why would we want to let another man decide what God is? How about we let God be true and every man a liar? Amen. And that includes Congress. Amen. We already know they're liars. They move their mouth. Too many Christians or religious people have a shell or a form of Christianity, but they're empty of power. Just because you put a collar on backwards doesn't mean you're a man of God. Just because you carry a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. If you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. So just because you have a form does not mean that you are filled with what you're supposed to be filled with. Everybody doing all right, man? I'm having fun right now. There's a lot of churches today that are only churches by man's standard, not God's standard. It's a social gathering for people to come and feel good about, get inspired and get encouraged and not to go back out and live like a devil the rest of the week. Well, my Bible says that preaching, Isaiah 61:1, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, cry aloud, spare not. Guess what? Every once in a while, the man of God needs to get up and scream and holler and kick things over and snort and holler and hoot and call names. You say, well, I don't think you ought to do that. Did you realize in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that Paul called names? God put him in the Bible. He said, but shame profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto more ungodliness, and their word will he eat as a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that they have the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith with some. God recorded two men's names that were preaching bad doctrine. He said, well, preacher, I don't think you ought to call names. Then don't do it. But God did, and I'm going to do it too. Somebody gets up and says, the Bible's not the word of God, I'm going to let you know. Amen. Somebody says you get to heaven by joining the church or getting baptized or living a good life, I'm going to expose them as being a heretic and wrong doctrinally. Amen. You don't get to heaven by anything you do. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Hey, that's what Christianity is all about. Amen. Now, you got a bunch of lily-livered pussyfooting preachers out there. They dress like mama and call themselves father. Everybody doing okay? They wiggle when they walk. And by the way, Jesus didn't wiggle when he walked. Jesus didn't have long hair. He wasn't some long-haired, maggot-infested little effeminate little twit. He attracted rugged, tough men. couple weeks ago was Palm Sunday. Guess what Palm Sunday was? He made a cat of nine tails, went into the temple, cracked a whip and chased him out and kicked the tables over. That's why they crucified him on Wednesday. They were mad at him. You see, too many Christians or religious people have a shell or an empty form of Christianity. But that empty form has to be filled with something in order for God to be able to use us and for us to get exactly what it is. If my wife, if we go home after church this morning sometime and we eat lunch and she sits out the cake pan but there's no cake in it, it's not going to be a happy ending. Say why? Because there's nothing in it. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. That's depressing. You know, nothing like setting out the dessert pan and there's nothing left. That's why when we have men's prayer breakfast, I pray at 7:59, we're supposed to start at 8 o'clock because these guys get hungry. Amen. Yeah, I don't want them whining and complaining. It's 8 o'clock, preacher. You haven't prayed yet. They're no different with me than they are with you, ladies. Don't worry. Now, wait a minute. Why would we set down an empty pan and say, there's dessert? Then why do we as Christians have an empty form? We have a form of godliness, but we don't do anything with it. We deny the power of God working through us, and we have empty Christianity. But listen to me very carefully here. The problem in America today is not the White House. It's the church house. Problem today is not Congress. The problem today is preachers who have quit preaching truth and righteousness. The problem today is not the Senate and the Supreme Court. The problem today is Christians who have quit living their Christianity. Everybody doing okay? They compare we have Christians who compare themselves to the world and say, I have a form, look what I look like. Folks, you can set all the cake pans out you want, but if there's no cake, it's not real pretty. Amen. You can slap frosting on that cake pan, but there's no man in the world going to eat it. He might lick the frosting off, but he's not going to eat it. You can decorate it, but if there's nothing in it, what good is it? Amen. And we have Christians walking around strutting their stuff like a turkey. Turkey season's open in the morning. Strutting their stuff around saying, look at me, look at me. And they don't realize they're empty. Yesterday I took some turkey decoys out to where I'll be turkey hunting. Is all they are is a shape of a turkey with a sticky stick in there and set them out so that you can fool the turkey. I was thinking about this sermon that I was going to be preaching. I said, this turkey decoy is the same thing most Christians are. They're an empty shell just blowing in the breeze. They look like it on the outside, but there's nothing on the inside. You really don't want to eat my turkey decoy. Just a little bit of foam and plastic. You can shoot it all you want, but it's not going to taste very good. God looks at us Christians and he sees a shape, he sees a form, but there's nothing in it. So, when we compare ourselves to the world, by the way, that's why God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Right. Did you know the church is not supposed to look like the world? Did you know that the church is not to act like the world? Brother Josh, I'm going to use you for an illustration. I've used it before, but it's been a while. Here's what's happened. Come on, clear over here, Brother Josh. This is the church in the world 75 years ago. Here's the church. Here's the world. Step to about right there. In the last 75 years, the world kept getting worse. Take a step that way. And they got worse. And they got worse, and they got worse, and they got worse, and they got worse. One more step, and they got worse. I was watching, don't worry. We're going to get our baptism in this week, amen. Wait a minute. Christians today say, I'm the same distance from the world that I've always been. The trouble is, Christians today are more worldly than the world was 75 years ago.
Right.
We have maintained the same distance, but we are now more worldly than the world was 75 years ago. Say, what was supposed to happen? Come back over to about right there, Brother Josh. This is where this church is at. As the world keeps getting worse and worse and worse, keep going and keep going and keep going, one half step. Thank you. This is where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be over here. Well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. Thanks, Brother Josh. Yes, I'm not supposed to move. Truth does not change. Doesn't matter how bad the world is. You go to the average church today, their music is worse than the Beatles in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
When the Beatles landed in the 1960s from England, parents went crazy over the stupid haircuts that they had. Y'all remember, those of you that were alive back then? The average Southern gospel group in America today has worse hair than the Beatles did in the 1960s. I just said it. America was appalled at Elvis Presley and his gyrating in the 1950s. Now look what we have. Don't look at it. You got Miley Cyrus or whatever that chick's name is or whatever it is. It doesn't even know what it is. You got people that are just as vile and nasty as can be. Folks, as the world got worse, the church in Christianity kept it at the same distance, but now the average church is more worldly than the world was 75 years ago.
Right.
Well, I just happen to believe that book didn't change. Why should we change?
Amen.
I think we ought to go back to the way God intended it to be. That's why they want to say, and the president can get up and say, well, the Second Amendment had limitations in it. It didn't mean all weapons. Well, the president not only doesn't have a brain, but he's got a hole in his head. I don't care who says it. The Second Amendment was not for hunting.
That's right.
It was for the American people to protect themselves from an oppressive government. Read your Constitution. Don't listen to the liberals.
Amen.
And we're not supposed to pack the court with new members.
No.
FDR tried it because he couldn't get the Communist New Deal in, and he tried it back in the 1930s. America had enough character to thwart that off. I hope we still have enough character to do it. So, number one, what is a form? It's an empty shell. Number two, most religious people, and even Christians, deny the power of godliness. Now listen to me very carefully here. Godliness's power comes from God, not man.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Godliness's power comes from God, not man. When a person gets saved, when they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible calls it the new birth, being born again. Now, their body's not born again, and their soul or their personality, their mind, is not born again. That only leaves one thing, the Spirit. And in John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. So when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go from saying, I am going to trust myself, my flesh, my personality, my own righteousness, to trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. At that very moment, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling and being bringing life to you eternally.
Amen.
It is a word called regeneration. It's the same word we use, regenetics.
regeneticized. We actually get the eternal genetics of God to be able to live forever by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And in the book of Romans, it talks about that he has indwelled us in our bodies. So the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. Please don't get mad at me. It's unscriptural to say Jesus moves into your heart. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. It is the Holy Spirit that moves into your life, not Jesus. Now watch this. And he is the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. He is the power of godliness. So when a person gets saved, they have an empty form, but it's able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we deny the power thereof, our form sits empty. Useless. See, God gave us the Holy Spirit to be in us so that he could be the power of godliness. Oh, I've heard preachers get up and preach series of sermons on the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to develop the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of man, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us those things as we need them in our daily walk to help people. It's those people who, when they're weeping, that we have love and compassion for them. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, when you're ready to knock somebody's head off because you don't like what they said. And you need gentleness, it's the Holy Spirit that will do it, not your flesh.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? We can't develop those. Those are by the Holy Spirit, not by us. We deny or prevent the Holy Spirit by not yielding to him and not obeying what the Word of God says. When we deny the power of godliness, we are limiting the Holy Spirit and living our life our way and not God's way. Isn't that what the first sin was? Satan came to man and said, look, you could be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. You can choose right and wrong. You decide. You don't need God to tell you. And since we obeyed Satan over God, we've had this battle ever since. And we battle, do we listen to God and the Spirit, or do we listen to our flesh and the devil? Acts chapter 4, verse number 8. Let me read a few verses to you. Acts 4, 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Ooh, who was that? Jesus, raised up by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13. Wait a minute, that was the wrong verse. I was in the wrong chapter. Whew, something didn't sound right, and now I'm trying to figure it out. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means made he whole? Guess what? That was the Holy Spirit that healed him, not the Apostle Peter. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verse number 9. I'll get it right, don't worry. Acts chapter 13, verse number 9. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? That sure doesn't sound like Joel Osteen to me. Doesn't sound like Joyce Myers to me. Everybody doing okay? Say, preacher, I can't believe you called names. I told you I was going to. Doesn't sound like these little sissy britches that get up and say, well, God is love. Yes, God is love, but God's also a wrathful God.
Amen.
He also destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He flooded the earth and killed everybody but 8 people.
Right.
There is a judgment that comes with sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Bible says this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. That's why it was in the book of Ephesians. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
God says we are to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit of God, fill this empty form so that the power of God can work through us so that we can be used by him in this world.
Amen.
This means you can be saved but have an empty form.
Right.
Let me say this. There's a difference in being saved and salvation. Being saved is when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation is the process after you've been saved of how you live your Christian life. Quit judging people by how they live.
That's right.
I have no right to judge anybody whether they've been saved or not. I'm to preach the truth. I'm to preach the gospel. Let them make a decision and trust Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Just because you have an empty form doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. If you have the form, guess what? You could go to heaven. If you have been saved, by the way, you say, well, that doesn't sound right, preacher. Well, Jesus hung between two thieves. And one said, take us down, get us down and save yourself also, and cursed God. The other said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus looked at him and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to join church. Didn't have time to get baptized. Didn't have time to live a good life. But Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Guess what? He got saved. It may have been at the end of his life, but he got saved. I believe anybody who realizes they're a sinner on their way to hell and is willing to admit it and trust Jesus as their Savior can die and go to heaven. Any of them. Maybe even Nancy Pelosi. God's going to have to do some changing on that one. When we tell God, listen to this, how he must accept our way, then we deny the power of the Holy Ghost. When you say, well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. I didn't ask you how you saw it. I just preach you what the Bible says. Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't care how you see it. I care how God sees it. We have too many Christians that want to play God and have Christianity their way. How about we just preach the truth and let God be true and every man a liar? Every man includes you and me. Well, that's not the way I learned it, preacher. Don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I was talking to a lady at the airport when I went to Maine, and she saw my Bible, saw as a preacher, and she said, now what kind of preacher are you? I said, an old-fashioned independent Baptist. She said, one of those hellfire damnation ones? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh. She said, I haven't been around one of those in a long time. I said, don't blame me for where you go to church. I said, preacher, you didn't say that. Yeah, I did. That's why she wouldn't talk to me the rest of the flight. Man, I was having fun. Stewardess would walk by. She would talk to me. I'd talk to her. Had my mask pulled down. You see, religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I just don't see it that way, preacher. Then get some spiritual glasses on and see it God's way.
Amen.
Don't care how you see it. How did God say it?
That's right.
We have too many churches that are trying to adapt to society. Well, you're not culturally acceptable. Thank you very much. Do you know what the root word of culture is? Cult. Well, that's not standard in our world today. Have you seen what the world calls standard? You think I want to be like that? I don't want my hair to look like it got in a fight with a weed eater, what little is left. Painted all different kinds of colors. Look like you got all these tattoos and piercings. It looks like you got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. Looks like you got wound up in a printing press and they rolled your skin under it and put it back on top of you. You know, some of these tough guys get this picture of this woman on their shoulder, and by the time they turn 70, she's as wrinkly as he is. Can you imagine how droopy and draggy that must be? Brother Harry, if you'll help her find a seat back there, that'll help me. Everybody look this way. Can I tell you something? What the world calls normal, I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be like this world in any shape, form, or fashion. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. On my desk today, I got in the mail this weekend from a Christian publication. They said, well, the post-COVID church, you are going to have to learn to accept change. You better be glad I threw that in my trash can.
Amen.
Because I wanted to bring it out here and just boil for a while. God didn't say we change what church is based on a stupid virus.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Well, you have everybody's health to consider. The flu's going around. The mask didn't stop it.
Right.
Somebody sent me a little meme that says, well, if you wear two bathing suits, does that mean you're safe from pee in the pool? I thought that was pretty funny. Most religions and Christians associate the power of God with a feeling. Did you know that the Holy Spirit's never associated with a feeling in the Bible?
That's right.
Just because your toe starts tapping when the music's played doesn't mean the Spirit's in it.
Amen.
When we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, your toe wasn't tapping, but the Holy Spirit was full of it.
Amen.
I know no greater truth than that Jesus loves me. We're not supposed to have preaching that satisfies the flesh. The Bible says in the end days, they'll have preachers who want to tickle people's ears. They have itching ears that need tickled. Well, I'm not touching your ears.
Amen.
I'm not going to tickle your ears. Matter of fact, I might spit in your ear. Say why? Because I'm supposed to preach, cry aloud, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they stood on a pulpit of wood and they pounded the pulpit. Amen.
Amen.
Why deny the Holy Spirit power by doing things man's way and not God's way? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Soul winning is still supposed to be soul winning.
Amen.
Did you know we're responsible for getting the gospel to every person? Miss Wally and I, a few weeks ago, she sold her house. Poor fella that bought her house. You talk about it. If that guy didn't have bad luck, he'd be in trouble. I mean, that guy had so many misfortunes in life and in this process. It's unbelievable. I said, Miss Wally, we're going to go talk to this fellow and see if we can win him to the Lord. I got this cute little old lady waddling up to the door with me. She got a little gift basket in her hand for the fella. We began to talk to him, had a friendly conversation, told him who I was, pastor of the church. Then I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. Standing in the same doorway where I met Fred, both of them had bare feet. I won that man to Jesus Christ. Bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Whew, glory to God. Just a couple weeks ago, I had a man come to my office, addicted to alcohol. Walked in, he said, I need help. I said, yes, you do. Brother Mike, I opened up my Bible. I walked that man down the pages of my Bible, and he bowed his head just across the desk from me and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Say, how are we going to change the world? That way. It doesn't mean every person you talk to is going to get saved. But it's our responsibility to get the gospel out. Brother John, thank God you took the gospel to your grandpa. Man needs to quit manufacturing faith and obey God. We have too many churches that are manufacturing spirituality. Key word to manufacture is man. How about God-ufacturing? How about we quit worrying about results and just obey God? How about we quit looking for the numbers and this and that and this and that. How about we just decide we'll obey God come hell or high water? So, number three, and I'll finish. We fill the form by obedience to God in the Bible. How do we not only have a form, how do we have a form and not deny the power thereof? We fill it with obedience to that book right there. Folks, it doesn't matter what this preacher says. It matters what this book says. I am a human. I am a sinner. I can make mistakes. Let God be true and every man a liar. We'll obey the word of God over what the word of man says any day.
Amen.
The whole Christian life can be brought down to one word. Close your ears, Miss Wally. Obey.
Amen.
Obey. Say, well, the Christian life's just so hard. You have to learn one word, obey. If we would just learn to obey the word of God, the Christian life is pretty simple. It really is. Obedience is an action word. It's not a state of being. Did you know obedience is not based on what you know? It's based on not even what you are. It's based on what you do. You could obey one time and disobey the next 10. And that does not make you obedient. It is a moment-by-moment decision to obey. People ask, how you doing, preacher? As bad as I can get away with. And when you live the life I live, you don't get away with a whole lot. Did you know the whole Christian life's wrapped up in one thing? Obey. You know what you struggle with most with your Christian life, whether you're going to obey God or not? Whether you're going to do what he said or you're going to do it your way. We're to obey the Bible as God wrote it, not as we see it or as society has come to accept it to mean. I am so sick and tired of people changing the meaning of words. Drives me crazy. We're not to tell God what we want and ask him to bring our desires. Well, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Yes, notice it doesn't say he'd give you what you want. He said he would change your desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the right desires to have. Prayer is not rubbing the bottle in the genie popping out and giving you what you want. I am so sick of Calvinism in our world today. Well, God did this and God did that and God did this. God didn't make all the problems in this world. Man did with his sin. Don't you think our God could make a whole lot better world than we live in? We chose to sin. He didn't. That's why Romans 8:28 is in the book. And we know that all things work together for good. Why do they have to work together? Because we break it down by sin. He didn't plan it. Our sin dictated it. God doesn't hide his will. It's not a mystery. He put it all in the book. Matthew 4:4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you read every word? Well, I just don't know what God's will is, preacher. There it is. 99% of the will of God is found right in the Bible. So all we have to do is obey it. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Church isn't supposed to be a college class. God's not interested in your notebook. He's interested in how you live your life. Everybody doing okay? I've got to quit. I hate that clock. Let me ask you a question. Are you like the earth was before creation, without form and void? Are you an empty form as a Christian? And is all you have is an outside structure? Then allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to fill it so you can become what he wants you to become. How do I do that, preacher? You obey that book right there. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hate to tell you this, you don't have a form. And you need to trust Him as Savior to get that form. Then you need to let the Holy Spirit in the Word of God control you so He can fill that form and make you into something that's usable. So, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you could do that today. Maybe you've been saved and you haven't obeyed Him with your baptism. Then you need to obey Him. It doesn't take you to heaven. It's just an act of obedience. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, haven't joined the church. Well, happen no good one, you could join it. Maybe you just need to decide to let the Holy Spirit control you and you quit controlling your own life. We're living in the end days. We better start living right because Jesus is coming back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I don't want to be. I wonder who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? I know for sure I'm going to heaven. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm really not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands all over the room. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begins to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand for any reason, how about you just step out, come to an old-fashioned altar and kneel. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've not been baptized and you're 18 years old or older, we'll do that. If you're under 18, we'll need your parents' permission. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and you just like to join our church. We'd love to have you. You come.